So once again, we have an arrest, breaking news, and a New York mayor trying to be reassuring to the public last night.
The suspect was a so-called lone wolf. Motivated by his own resentment of the presence of American troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as inspired by Al-Qaeda propaganda. He was not part of a larger conspiracy emanating from abroad.
Speaking last night, Mayor Michael Bloomberg talking about what police reported earlier in the day. They've arrested a 27-year-old man suspected of plotting to bomb police cars, post offices, and other targets. His name is Jose Pimentel. Joining us now is Bob Henley, senior reporter for our co-producer, WNYC. Bob, where do we stand on this plot and this arrest? What do we know about the suspect?
Well, he was also known as Mohammed Youssef, and he first showed up on the NYPD's radar going back down to October of 2010 after a tip from Albany police. Pimentel is originally from the Dominican Republic, is a naturalized U.S. citizen who's lived primarily in Manhattan except for several years in Schenectady, New York.
Now, what does lone wolf mean? That he popped up out of the blue, or that they've been working with him? You know, there have been informants involved with him. He's been plotting essentially with law enforcement and up until this arrest.
Well, there was an interesting reference by the mayor to his expression of his sentiments, pretty much that any U.S. target was appropriate because of the ongoing war. He refers to his friends as being taken aback by his comments, which gives us a sense that perhaps this was generated through some associates. Then it escalated to having an NYPD intelligence operative handle him, as you will. Evidently, it was Anwar al-Awlaki's targeting and the U.S. successful hit on him in a drone strike in September that picked up the tempo, according to the police, of this entire activity. This is also a circumstance where they say what we have here is someone who looks to the internet as both their training ground through magazines like Inspire that al-Awlaki had that catch the imagination, and then also use cyberspace as the sanctioning, if you will, as the emotional base. So you really don't have to have, in this world of the 21st century, anyone acting as a conspirator in person. The internet is the source of this.
Well, Bob Henley, let's explore that for a moment. Is the connection, the alleged connection to Anwar al-Awlaki, who was assassinated, as you say, in a drone strike in Yemen earlier this year, is it purely online connection, or is there any chance that they actually met?
Well, in point of fact, the prosecutors say that Pimentel reached out through email and did not get a response from al-Awlaki. So this is truly a case of what appears to be an isolated individual who was using the sounding board of the informant. And that's going to be critical, John, going forward, is the role of the informant.
You know, Bob Henley, senior reporter for our co-producer, WNYC, what does this tell us about the approach of both New York police and the federal government to, I guess, identifying suspects and then apprehending them? They say they had him under surveillance for 2 years. I assume that's for his website. But then what does it tell us about how they identify who's dangerous and who's not?
What is interesting is that in the dozen-some-odd attacks we've seen before, with the exception of one other case earlier this year, we've had the leadership tableau of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the FBI, and the NYPD together. So there is something that certainly defense attorneys will make of the fact that the federal government, for whatever reason, chose not to participate in this case. Now, the prosecutors in the case will say, listen, we have a state statute. We had to move fast. The state statute, for instance, permits them to charge him as a conspiracy of one, something that in the federal law you can't do. You need at least a predicate of another person to make a conspiracy. But no doubt we had a case where two Queens individuals earlier this year, D.A. Vance, had a situation where two men out of Queens bought a couple of handguns and a phony hand grenade, allegedly to target a synagogue. And in that case, the federal government on background, a number of people within the FBI were expressed deep skepticism that it rose to the level of a terrorism case. And you know, the thing here is, if this is going to proliferate like this, the locals will counter and say, listen, we can't wait for the red tape of the federal government and the expense involved in making it a federal case.
All right, but Bob Henley, let's explore this again. Jose Pimentel, 27 years old, he's been arrested by the NYPD. Is the fact that the feds weren't there last night or yesterday an indication that the feds believe he's not chargeable, or they're just leaving it to the NYPD for whatever reason?
I think this is going to be exactly the territory a good defense attorney will look at to see to what degree Is this a case of entrapment? Is this a case where the informant went over the line? We'll have to see as the trial moves forward to see how much of this actually holds up. But we're in some new territory here, and it's certainly something that is unusual.
And he's facing charges that include criminal possession of a weapon. Do we know what the weapon is?
Well, this is all the things related to going to the 99-cent store and to Home Depot, whether it be pipes, Christmas lights, any kind of timing device, any kind of thing that common household item that can be turned into shrapnel. That could be the basis for a weapon.
And his nom de guerre was Muhammad Yusuf. Any idea what targets he was considering? It appears rather broad.
Well, one of the things that caught my eye was a reference to the post offices. There's even the idea that he would target police cars and then returning Iraqi and Afghani war veterans from the U.S. So you're right, it was. And I even saw reference in some published reports to banks. And so that reference actually to the idea of targeting post offices, you would think that would be rise to a federal case, wouldn't you?
All right. Let's listen to Police Commissioner Ray Kelly talking about Jose Pimentel.
Pimentel's behavior morphed from simply talking about such acts to action, namely bomb building. Pimentel followed instructions from Anwar el-Awlaki's Inspire magazine. He relied on a particularly notorious article called How to Make a Bomb in the Kitchen of Your Mom.
Bob Henley, any idea when he morphed, according to Ray Kelly there?
Well, I think that no doubt that the September strike in El-Awlaki set him off. And so this does go to a broader argument, John, if the idea of stamping out terrorism using these kinds of methods doesn't actually kind of proliferate it and create more broad-based terrorism threats.
Interesting. Bob Henley, senior reporter for our co-producer WNYC, on the arrest yesterday of 27-year-old Jose Pimentel on suspicion of plotting to bomb police cars, post offices, and other U.S. targets. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.